Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity once again to welcome everyone in here at the Clay County Corner. We're sitting in here in this pretty warm little room. I came by yesterday and turned a little heat on, then came in this morning and turned the fireplace on. Feels pretty good in here. We had our little snow this morning. We woke up to that, but it's basically about gone away. But I do think we did call off the education process for the day. And, you know, we're not going to take any chances on trying to get these young'uns into the schools. When they have to go around the bluff down around Turkey Creek and down that way and some of those places, some pretty dangerous places around here, so we're not having any school today. But it looked like it's going to be a pretty nice day. It's not going to get too awful much colder. And things are going to warm up a little bit, and we're just happy to be here this morning here at 9 o'clock, where we come to you each Thursday morning live and in living color here on, once again, on WVFB FM 101.5, Kick Country, broadcasting throughout the world from the great big tall tower out at Midway. So we're thankful for that, and we really appreciate the folks that make this show possible here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock with a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And it's also posted on the Dale Hall Horizon website, so you know, got lots of opportunities to keep up with our show here each Thursday morning. And we really appreciate the fact that the Clay County Chamber of Commerce and also the Three Star Group and all the folks that advertise here. I know we have quite a few special advertisers that help take care of us and make sure that we're able to do this each Thursday morning. I got Mr. Johnny McLaren with me here this morning, and we're going to sit here and wander off and talk about some of the older history events, things that happened, stuff that used to be here in Salina a few years ago. And just we may wander off in a lot of different directions, but I think it's going to be a very interesting show. And then also today we'll be giving away one of our birthday prizes about halfway through the show. We'll read the names about halfway through and give it away toward the end. And they'll be able to go over and pick up their birthday prize over at the Chamber of Commerce building. And let's see, we were supposed to have a basketball game Tuesday night. Didn't make that one, and I don't know if we'll make the one tonight or not. We may, with everything clearing up. I think they do. We're supposed to play Gordonsville tonight. So that's going on there. And I'd like to really thank the youngsters that came by last week and filled everyone in on their great accomplishments that the 4-H folks had at the pig show, and also the group that went to Phoenix, Arizona and won the national contest in cattle judging. So, they've got some more things going on. They'll try to make it back here in a few weeks when they've won some more things. But it's always a pleasure when we have them in. And we will, I guess, right now take a little short break, work in a few words from our sponsors, and come back. And we will begin today's show. We'll be right back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. Like I said, I've got Mr. Johnny McLaren here with me this morning. One of my first student athletes that I was around. And, of course, I remember, Johnny, you growing up, your interest was football and basketball, riding motorcycles, doing just about every kind of dangerous thing you could think of when you were growing up. And I know you guys traveled all over the country with the motorcycle riding and things like that. And of course, you recently retired from the education profession, where you've been there a few years, working here in Clay County and finished up down in Jackson County. But, you know, somewhere along the line, I don't know, this interest in the history, artifacts, and I know that you and your wife have the store here in Salina, and you travel really, I guess, pretty much all around the southeast here, traveling to different types of antique shows, the yard sales, and that kind of thing. You know, how did all this develop, Johnny, over the years?
I don't really know how we got interested in a lot of stuff, but I think a lot of the history stuff is family-oriented, where a lot of the I had a great-grandmother and stuff. They was always interested in history, and sometimes they made history. They didn't need to, but, you know, a lot of local history. And my mother was very interested in the history part.
Okay, of course, she served for how many years here as a clerk and master here at the Clay County Courthouse?
She served clerk and master from 84.
And then, of course, there's a little bit of a family tradition there, wasn't there, where you're...
Somebody was in the family from the clerk master from 1918 to my mother's passing in 2011 or 10.
Okay, and that is a whole lot of history here in Salina and Clay County, isn't it? And I know that, and also on the other side there, you have uncles and things and grandpas and things that have been involved in a lot of the historic courthouse cases here.
True, you know, there's all one side of the family was on the Renault side was all lawyers, and Clay County's had some big cases, and they were one of the lawyers here, so of course they were in the middle of all of it.
Yeah, and I know they helped serve as special prosecutors on the Grover Jones murder trial, and I do another very famous trial that your grandpa was involved in. That was the Cordell McLaren squirrel case that they took all the way to the Supreme Court.
Went all the way to the Tennessee Supreme Court on. And I'm not sure the whole details, but it was about squirrel hunting.
We've talked about that a little bit before. Of course, Cordell McLaren was my uncle, and they changed the date on squirrel season And I think the TWRA law at that time was you had to post a notice, and it finally, of course, they tried they had trampled on his civil rights, and none of that stuff worked, but your grandpa came up with a thing about advertising when they changed the hunting seasons, and the only place they posted the notice was at the Clay County Courthouse on a bulletin board, and the state Supreme Court decided that really wasn't notification, because the farmers and everybody out in the county, a lot of them didn't come to Salina once every 3 or 4 months, so that one made it all the way down. And if you notice now, when TWRA does change some seasons and things, some hunting seasons or fishing seasons, that they do a real good job of getting the word out now where everybody knows about it.
I knew they won the case because the state couldn't prove the season wasn't open.
Right, because they hadn't told him. But, you know, that's one of the neat ones. And like I said, you can do a little search on that one and find it. But now let's talk a little bit. You know, like I said, you know that your interest in these things, and I know you have spent a lot of time investigating the origins of this city of Salina here. You know, talk a little bit about what you know, when it started and that kind of thing.
Salina, I think, was, and I'm not sure I'll get the dates right, Salina was a village in Jackson County in 1833. Then it continued to be that till the Civil War, when the Yankees burnt Salina. Then it didn't really exist till Salina, Clay County became a county, and Salina became the capital city of the county in 1870.
Okay, and there actually have been three city of Salinas, haven't there?
I think so, yes.
I know I read a little something about, I guess, one of the big floods in 1876, where old Salina flooded and just basically washed everything away down there. But it goes into talking about then, well, it didn't make it all the way up into New Salina, which was about halfway between where we're at now in the river, and then now we're sitting in the newest Salina, which I guess they came up here. There really wasn't anything up here, I don't think, was there, Johnny, except for a courthouse when they got it built.
Well, that's true, and really all the business, even after 1870, and they had the city of Salina where it is now, everybody did business down in Old Town Salina, because they didn't have a bridge, and they rode the ferry across. And the ferry brought you up into Old Town. Then when the bridge came through in the 1930s, or about 1930, it bypassed Old Town, and everybody started driving straight into what is now the city of Salina, and Old Town started going by the wayside.
And I think about the only thing we've got left down there is the old ice house.
It is.
And I think there's a couple of land formations where you can kind of see maybe where the ferry boats may have landed. And
you can see where, you know, the wharf where it was down more toward Clark Subdivision, where the ferry came up right into Old Town.
Well, you know, then something I think, if we notice from some of the pictures, it looks like, and I don't think there ever was a town or anything, but it looks like a lot of the ferry boats were actually being docked on the other side of the river here from Salina, or is that just misinterpretation of some of the things you see?
I think most of them docked. I've seen pictures of them docked both places, but I think most of them, you had to wait your turn to get into the dock, I think, what a lot of it was.
So they may have been over just waiting to come across. And I was wondering, of course, with a lot of maybe the produce here in Clay County, the farm products and the goods for the folks that lived on the other side of the river, maybe they were unloaded, but I don't think we've ever seen anything of any type of businesses on the other side of the river, have we, over the years? Or?
No, there's not during that time. There wasn't anything on the other side of the river. All the warehouses was on this side.
Right.
And they washed away in the 27 flood.
Yeah, that was a big one, too, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Okay, and I think maybe fire was a problem down there, too. You remember anything? You got anything in your little memory bank there about the fires? Or
I do not. The only fire that I remember or read about is the one here in town.
Okay, I know there was some fires down in Old Town that burned some of the warehouses and things down there at one time. And I think I know you and I were talking about once about the different things that came up the river. And a little interesting thing that I think that you told me that you found a place and researched there of some of the products of this county, that the number one product being shipped up the river from Salina up the river was what now?
Chickens.
But so a whole lot hadn't changed, has it?
It was a big chicken place in the up and down the river. And a lot of our supplies not only came from Nashville, but a lot of them came from Somerset, Burnside. We had as much come down the river as we did come up the river.
Right.
Especially with the steamboat Salina and the steamboat Rowena.
And of course, those were the ones, you know. But looking through that, and I think I threw something out here that I'd run across, Johnny, and that was this is all the way back in 1875, I believe, and there are a couple of ads I guess it was in the Nashville Banner for advertising for steamboats leaving Nashville, coming to Salina, and one of those was one called the Eddyville, and the advertisement said it was for Salina, Burkesville, and Point Isabel. If you ever heard of Point Isabel before?
Point Isabel was Burnside.
Okay, that was Burnside then at that time. Okay. And said, you know, that they left there on Tuesday. Now, do you know how long it took those boats to get from Nashville to Salina?
I'm not for sure, no.
But I think I saw somewhere it took about a week.
Because each farm, you know, if you were coming up the river and you had something you wanted to sell, you could just flag down the steamboat, and they pull into your landing. Because every farm up and down the river had a riverboat landing. So if you're selling your farm products, animals, you can flag them down, they'd pull in and load it up.
You know, that sounds kind of strange to us. Now, of course, we can nearly do the same with UPS now, but until we're on dry land. And okay, now, a number of those, and I think that you may have some of the names of some of those. Each one of those places, it had a name associated with the farm or something, some of those stops up the river here.
Yes, if whoever owned the farm, that was the name of the stop. You had, and just somebody to think of, you had the Overstreet Landing, you had and across the river, you'd have the Stevens Landing. And you go on up, and you have the biggest one up that way was Martinsburg. And that's where Tompkinsville and a lot of Pea Ridge got their supplies from the Martinsburg landing.
Okay, and of course, down here we had Butler's Landing here, which was a real, real thriving community.
And it was a big riverboat town. Riverboat area had a lot of warehouses, and that's where the people from Cookeville, Hillham, got their stuff, was from the Butler Landing area.
And, you know, just kind of looking around Clay County today, and I know we have a road that comes from Moss called the Moss-Arcot Road that came down from out at, where they called it Moss, Lodi, or whatever the name of it was then, that came down this way. But when we kind of look at it, we realize that road really didn't come to Salina at that time, did it? Because there was no way to get around the bluff on the river, was there, at that time?
Went to Butler's Landing.
It went to Butler's Landing at that time.
And to Bennett's Ferry. A lot of times it was called Bennett's Ferry Road also.
Right. And, you know, that was, and we kind of look at it today, and the best I can figure out on this thing is that our so-called Dividing Ridge Road was the main highway from Moss to Salina, where it came in over on the hillside on the other side of Salina, up above the subdivision over there. And that's how the folks from out at Moss would ride their wagons down that road into the bluff looking over into Salina, and then had a road all the way down to, I guess, to where the ferries were at. And that was the main part of transportation. And I think that still is a county road even today, because we got our gas line running down through there. But and I also know then, you know, looking a little farther in the history, do you when the bridge was built here?
I think it was finished about 1930.
About 1930.
Yeah, and then that just really caused Old Town to go away.
Right, because it went over the top of it, didn't it?
Over the top of it, and all the stores then moved up into Newtown. W.L. Brown had a big store down there. There were, and I was trying to find the hotels. I knew there's three hotels, the Riverside Hotel, the Red Letter Hotel, and Hotel Solana.
Okay, we're going to stop right there a minute, work in a commercial, and then come back here in a minute. All right. We'll be right back.
Let's face it. We are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Solana Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. I picked up a little thing that I printed out about the businesses in Old Town. Says Salina has five live hustling businesses, business houses: W.L. Brown and Son, Brown, Maxie and Company, I.W. Mitchell, C.W. Willis, and Ray Stevens and Brother. I guess you're familiar with those names, aren't you?
I'm familiar with a few of them. The last one I didn't know.
Willis, and I've noticed that one a couple of times before. And I know, there's L.W. Mitchell, Ray Stevens and Brother. And
I don't know the Ray Stevens and Brother.
And a P. Terry owns and operates a store here. And then it also it talks about those buildings and the businesses. And of course, we've got the building up here now. Under all of the side of the building, you can still see where the W.L. Brown building, where lawyer Jimmy White's office is at.
And W.L. Brown was an old town. They had a real
right, big... They were all the way down. They were some of the originals, aren't they, from here in the town of Salina. Okay, now, a couple of buildings here that are still here now besides the courthouse, I guess over where the beauty shop is now. Do you have a little history of that building, Johnny?
I just know that Cordell Hull's daddy had it built.
that bank building there?
The one I'm thinking about is just right across the street here at the courthouse where the new beauty shop is. Right there where the apartment.
Okay, on the corner. Okay, now what about the one over beside your building there?
The W.L. Brown building?
No, on the other side of the street, beside your other building over there, the old hardware store.
That's where it was, on the Hotel Salina, that's where it sits.
Okay, was that building, I'm talking about the building there
the old bank building, the old National
Bank.
It was built in 28.
Okay.
It just lasted 1 year.
So, I mean, they built that big fancy building. Well, what happened to them, do you know?
Well, that's about the time of the Depression started, and they went in with the Bank of Salina.
Okay, and the Bank of Salina was originally instituted about when?
1895, and the first building was in Old Town. I've got a picture. I actually have a picture of this.
And we're going to have to put together that display one of these days and put some stuff here in the courthouse where folks can come back. Part of our heritage celebration this summer, Johnny, which is what we're working on now.
And if anybody has any old pictures of Old Town, any old buildings, I'd really like to see them.
And we can take care of those here at the courthouse, too, because I've got a scanner here sitting behind me, and you don't even have to let us touch them if you don't want to. And I'm sure Johnny's the same way. He can scan those pictures in and save them forever. And when you get them digitized, they're easier to keep up with then. And I know, in looking, Johnny, the beginning of the town here in Salina. I mean, you know, kind of tell us, you know, I know you know how the town got started, some of the people responsible for it. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it was just a big river town. And, you know, Salina was the halfway point between Nashville, Tennessee and Burnside, Kentucky. And we were the lumber capital of the whole Upper Cumberland area. So everybody, the log buyers were from Salina. And it was a big deal. I mean, when the timber season came and the river got high, they talking about the people come to Salina just because there's so many people here and everything was exciting. Then when the river traffic went down and they started doing it with trucks, it really made a big difference in the Salina and the river traffic.
Okay, now you know this place became a bustling. What about some of the places that served spirits, did we have some?
They were on every corner in Salina. They were every place that had a saloon, and most of them had a saloon with a store, and they lived up over the store.
Okay, and you get to thinking maybe there may have been maybe a tussle or two out in the streets here in old time Salina. It sounds like an old Wild West town, little, doesn't it?
Especially in Old Town, there were several people killed in Old Town. Without, you know, I didn't read not getting into the details of who they were, but there's several people killed in Old Town, especially around the steamboats, and sometimes they're having a party on Christmas down in a building in Old Town, and one got shot at the front door.
They didn't want him to come in, did they? that's one of the sad things about our area here, that we didn't have. I'm sure there may be family diaries somewhere or another and letters and things about these things, but, you know, it is so hard, you know, that because most of the things are so precious to the folks that actually own them that they, like we said, they don't really like for anybody to even touch them.
And the history like that was kind of bad in the family, they didn't pass it on.
They did.
And I know that in my family, I was trying to run down an ancestry and nobody knew anything about them, and it was because they didn't want anybody to know about them. So they just wouldn't tell it.
Well, you know, I know that was kind of the thing. I know later on here in the county that I had a grandma who had a nephew that pushed her off the big porch, and actually she passed away from those injuries, but her death certificate says that she fell off the porch. And, you know, then it kind of makes hard to track things down like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, because they just, you know, a lot of stuff that we know is, it was just passed on from word of mouth that this is what happened. And a lot of the stories were, you know, two people look at the same thing and tell two different stories of it.
Well, I didn't grandpa or great-grandpa ever tell you any stories that...
I wish that, you know, if I'd paid more attention or asked more questions, because they would tell you, I just didn't know the right questions to ask.
What, did they keep any diaries, didn't they?
I had a great-grandmother that kept lots. She wrote everything down. And I'm still finding stuff that she wrote down on who kin folks were. And that is mainly who was kin and stories that go along with that.
You know, and you know, sometimes when you look at some of the things that, you know, happened here in Clay County, I know one of the interesting things, that a story that made it to the, I guess it was the Banner, and that was when, find the thing here, Johnny, that, okay, here's one of the fires, Johnny, here at Fire at Salina, and this is from, look like, from 1902, with a fire down there. Brown and Company burned out with a loss of $8,000. I'm just going to read this thing. We'll talk a little bit about it. Shortly after midnight, the fire broke out in the storehouse of Brown and Company and totally destroyed the building and its contents, causing a loss of $7,000 to $8,000. They don't know what happened to it. The members of the firm are positive that there was no other way for the fire started than somebody started it. So there was a big fire down there at one time.
Well, I'm sure that's terrible. It just, I had never really researched and tried to find that out. But you know, that's interesting to see find out where that would have been.
And I know one of the fires up here, one of the stories that was in the Nashville papers talked about how, I guess that was one from the little commotion over here across the street at the, I guess, with the service station, yeah, where a couple of the farmers, they accidentally turned over a lantern.
Got in a fight, knocked over the stove, and it burnt the whole corner of the
and
square
it
off.
Talks about how the citizens of Salina fought valiantly, put the fire out, but the bucket brigade just couldn't get it done. And with John, we're going to take another little short break, work in a few words from our sponsors, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about the logging business if you want to.
That'll be good.
All right, we'll be right back.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. Johnny and I are still here. We hadn't froze out yet or anything, and we hadn't got hot. We had to open the windows, so we're still pretty comfortable. But Johnny, a couple more things here. I thought, you know, these are both from a couple of articles that appeared. One of them appeared in the Nashville Tennessean. The Tennessean in 1927, and this is back in those days. They printed stuff from just little things in the Nashville papers, and this is just a little bleep here, a special in the Tennessean. And this what this does, this gives you name of folks that lived in Clay County at those times that, that weren't necessarily politicians or sheriffs, things like that, but just normal people. And this one is, this was in, from Salina, Tennessee on July the 31st in 1927. A barn and contents owned by Mrs. Roxy Lynch, a widow who resides in the Butler's Landing, 7 miles south of Salina, was destroyed by fire Tuesday evening. The origin of the fire is not known. Now, that is a little story that showed up in the Nashville, Tennessee in 1927. Have you ever heard the name Roxy Lynch before?
I have, and I think they were related to Beth Gentry. I think the Lynch
I believe you're right there.
Through her family, and they were from the Butler Landing area.
I mean, you know, that, and that is kind of where, you know, that those names show up. And then if you look through those things, then it hits the spark, and you start doing a little research, and you find out a little bit more about them. And this is another thing that came up, and looked like this was in 1931. This is also in the Nashville, Tennessean. Salina, Tennessee, December the 9th, 1931, special edition. Paul Stone, son of Mr. and Mrs. Tom Stone, is in the hospital in Cookeville suffering a broken leg. Young Stone was out hunting Sunday night with a nephew, Lovell Stone, and stepped into a hole, fracturing his leg above the ankle. He remained in the wood with his foot caught in the hole until his nephew could run home 3 miles to get home for his aid. And those are a couple of, Paul Stone, a very familiar name in politics here, and family name, isn't it?
It is.
And, of course, there, right there, you know, now we know who his parents were. You know, I mean, that's kind of the way these things work.
That's how you find out more stuff you can't find out. It tells who he was, and it tells parents, and you find out genealogy that way.
Right, and, you know, they're just, like I said, you throw a name in there, and if there's anything anywhere, it'll kick it out to you. And, of course, sometimes you may find things you're not really looking for. But we were going to talk a little bit about the commerce here, and the thing we talked about the logging business a little bit. And I have seen some things. We look back at when the Confederates and the Yankees had their little skirmish here across the river, and you look through there, and I know I didn't get that one down, but one of the stories told to be the commander of the Northern troops, when he sent his report back, he told of how many barrels and bushels and bales of hay and all that kind of stuff that they destroyed here in Salina. And those numbers were amazing, aren't they?
They are. And Salina during the Civil War was mainly a guerrilla, where some of them, Bennett and Hamilton, all used Salina as their main base.
and the famous raider from Clinton County that came down through here.
You had Tinker Day Beatty of the north, and I can't think of the one south, Champ Ferguson.
Yeah, Champ Ferguson.
And they were real big rivalries during the Civil War part.
You know, and I think maybe that one of my great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents actually owned a little farm, and that I can remember my grandma talking about when they heard that Champ Ferguson was coming, that he hid in a cave somewhere or another for a couple, 3 days, because I think maybe they actually owned a couple of three slaves, and I think all the slave owners were, they run for cover, I think, when they heard that Champ Ferguson was heading this way.
Yeah, Champ, he's the only one of only the maybe two people that were caught by the North and executed at the end of the Civil War.
I think he was sent up to the prison up in Kentucky.
No.
Or did they do it here around here?
They did it in Nashville.
In Nashville?
They hung him in Nashville. But the one they called here, and they were taken to a prisoner of war camp up in Kentucky, old Hamilton, he was killed.
On the way,
by a guard on the way
on
up.
On the way up there, yeah.
And he was good friends of Champ Ferguson. And Champ, after one of the times, tracked that person down and killed him in a hospital up in Kentucky.
Okay, well now we went that direction. But what about the Hart brothers?
I don't know anything about the Hart brothers.
The murderers that just wandered up and down the Cumberland River here for a number of years and murdered people just for the fun of it. we'll get that the next time. We'll do some research on them. But, okay, now, the logging business here, would you have, you know, maybe an idea of what it was like? I mean, you said a minute ago, you know, where all did the logs come in here from?
Everywhere up the river. And all the way from Burnside, Kentucky, they would raft down to here, then put more rafts together. They even come out of the Obi River. And they'd have these rafts, and they'd put big rafts together and guide them to Nashville. It took about a week to get down there, and you had to have high water. And they had at that time, there's what they call a Cumberland River rule. That's where they used the rule out on the water to measure the logs, how many feet you have.
And I bet you've got one of them somewhere.
I only know three that exist, and I've got two of them.
And, you know, I know we know the story. If we studied literature in high school or any time, that he stuck the pole down in there, and what was it, Mark Twain? Was supposedly one of the measurements of what, if you said Mark Twain, you started maybe looking for a different place in the river or something to get on up. Or,
probably, that sounds right.
I do remember that. And, you know, and life on a log raft.
You know, there's just a few pilots that could really do it. And when they got real good, they could run at night because they wouldn't need dams. And you had current, you had to have high water. And the ones that could really do good were the ones that could run at night. And there were quite a few that could do that. But you had to have certain times, the water had to be high, and they put the rafts together, and they backed them up here. They tied them up together and backed them up the river so they could take off when the water got high enough.
Okay, and, you know, what would it, I'm sure there's probably not any pictures, there may be somewhere or another, what a typical log raft would look like when it left here.
There's pictures I've got.
Okay.
Some of them, and they'd just be, they'd be, I don't know how wide they'd be and long, just be big rafts, all it is. And they'd have a big guide pole on the back. And I think they had four people on the rafts with them. Got them.
Can you kind of judge maybe how long the logs were, that what length maybe they'd cut them in? And
most of them were cut into 16-foot lengths. And they'd have, they had such good timber at the time, it was big timber, and they had what they call floater logs, the sinker logs. And you would put a sinker log in between two floater logs to keep it up.
So some of the real heavy hardwood wouldn't float real good, would it?
It wouldn't. You'd have to have like the, probably the poplar and stuff would be one that'd hold up another tree. Then you could hide, they say also you could hide one of them, a tree in the water where it would rot it out. Someone would hide them under it.
Okay, and then how many men would have been on the logging raft?
You have, I think most time it was four. You had a pilot and you had a just the raft hands. The raft, well, I don't know what they really call themselves.
I guess. Loggers, I guess.
And you could ride, they'd let you, sometimes the people whose logs there was would ride down the river with them.
Yeah.
And some of them would bust apart. And, you know, you'd have people on the river that would catch the logs that when the raft busted apart and catch them for people.
Okay, and I know that one of the things in the past, I don't know, maybe 40 or 50 years, started a big business of reclaiming sunken logs out of the major rivers here in Tennessee and really all over the country, where they would go down and pull them out of the mud and clean them up. And
we hadn't got any from the Cumberland River. We have some from the Tennessee River that were sunken cypress, and we actually have some of it.
I know that was a big thing, because some of those were pretty valuable timber when they got them out.
Well, they didn't get any oxygen, so they didn't rot.
Right.
So they were still very good wood.
Okay, now, the workers on there and the pilot, what about their food? Did they have a cook on there?
They did have a cook, and they carried a lot of their food. Plus, they would get food going down the river, and a lot of it was tales of, you know, what the captains would do sometimes to get food and stealing chickens on this riverbank and stuff like that.
One of the legends was Billy Hull, wasn't it?
It was. And they called him Uncle Billy, and it was Cordell Hull's daddy that was one of the big timber buyers and people that took him up down the river.
Of course, that's why he was here in Salina. And, of course, that's one of the things we talked about before, that I know there's a big museum up in Finch or Pickett County, but really the only claim they have to Cordell Hull was he was born there. And I'm not sure exactly what age he was when he came here, but he had to be a very, very young man.
Well, he went to school at Willow Grove for a year. Then they came on down to Salina, and he got him into Montvale Academy,
which was what they call in classical high schools, which would probably be equivalent to at least a 2 or 3 years of college today with the kind of things that they studied in those.
And most every town had one.
I think we had a couple here, didn't we?
We had Montvale, and there's one at the Jackson County line in Tinsley Bottom called Falmouth Academy, and it was a big place too.
It seemed like there may have been some over on the west side. I'm not sure exactly where they were at, but I think there may have been one over there. Okay, now the trip downriver took about a week, and then when they got down there, they had a choice, didn't they?
They could either ride the steamboat back up or walk.
And how long did the steamboat trip take?
It'd take 2 or 3 days to get back up, but it cost $4 or $5.
Which is a whole lot of what they'd earned going down there.
And most of them decided they'd just walk.
They'd walk, and they could walk back home about as quick as they could get up the river.
And some walked back from New Orleans.
Now, I'd never heard that. That's a pretty good little job.
Mr. Stone, who was Harold Stone's daddy, walked back from New Orleans and carried a little pouch with him. And the family still got the little pouch.
Well, I've got a long gauge, 20 gauge, I think it's a Remington shotgun, that was one of the first breech-loading shotguns made, and with a hammer on the side that he carried back, that I've got put up in a safe somewhere or another. But I know that was a story that I think maybe it was my great uncle that brought that one back.
And it's fun. What we do a whole lot now is try to find things that were brought up and down the river on a steamboat.
You know, I'm wondering, did the Wendell House, the Sears and Roebuck House, I wonder if it came up by steamboat or if it came by train?
My guess, and I'm just guessing, it didn't come by steamboat.
It probably came up by train and went over to Livingston. And picked, of course, there was a train.
They came from All Good to Livingston. It didn't last long, but most time it's either Glasgow or Cookville.
Well, I know for a number of years here, if you wanted to catch a train ride somewhere or another, you went over to Cave City and caught the train there, and you could go all over the United States on trains there, or you could go to Nashville and get on the LNN down there.
You know, Clay County is one of the... There's just a few counties in the whole state that didn't ever have a train. track in it.
We've never had a fatality or a train wreck in Clay County, have we? But I can remember, Johnny, back when I was in elementary school, that we never did it. New Hope get to go, but I think the high school students, that one of their annual trips was to go to Nashville and get on the train and ride the train up to Cave City, and then the bus be up there waiting to bring them back to Salina a number of years ago.
Never heard that. That'd be interesting.
But they got to take a train trip up the LNN train. So I thought that, and I've heard some of the stories about that. But the logging business itself, I know there's probably the number of millions of feet of raw timber that came through here going to Nashville.
Then after the logs started going to Nashville, the sawmills started setting up here in the area, and then they just started shipping lumber places.
Well, I've got a picture. I think I ever showed it to you of the steam-powered sawmill.
I've never seen it.
Okay, I can get you that. Cordell Carter, he had a steam-powered sawmill that was powered by a steam traction engine that they went to Nashville and bought it. And, of course, the big, heavy steam, if you've ever seen a steam tractor, it was bigger than the one they've got in the museum out here, and they drove it back from Nashville, back to Moss. And he would take that steam traction engine out to where the timber was, close to in the woods. And they would actually, saw the timber up. This is 1930s, and they would saw it into lumber and haul the lumber to Nashville. But I'll get you a picture of that, because I know my dad worked for him, and he got an extra 30 minutes each day to fire the steam engine up and to shut it down when the work day was over. So he got an extra hour a day.
And that's not a whole lot different than when they first started with the logs and everything was next to the river, and just started moving away from the river, because you cut all the timber close to the river, and you had to get further enough away, so that's the way they worked around it.
And I know that when he went to a gasoline engine, he actually put that gasoline engine on a trailer. And I can remember as a youngster going up to Pea Ridge, Red Oak Ridge, with them up there when I was about 8 or 10 years old, and they actually took that into the woods where the lumber was at, or where the timber was at, and they saw the lumber there and hauled the lumber out where they didn't. Of course, now all we see here is logs coming through, and we still get a few of them through here.
It's still one of the number one industry in the county is the timber business, and it has been for many years.
And I know over the years, growing up, I remember they would talk about how, that basically that the timber was all gone in this area back a long time ago, but I don't think it ever has.
Just the big timber.
Yeah, well, and if you look around sometimes now, I think I saw maybe four loads sometime last week, and I talked to the guy that buys them for Anderson. He said that there was a number of 31-inch circumference or 31-inch diameter logs that they found somewhere or another that went through here. And that is a pretty big tree for this
big
town.
Yes.
But, all right, now, when the logging industry, the oil business, tell us a little bit about the oil strikes here.
It's just like it always, the oil, there'll be big strikes, and it'll be a few years, and they'll hit another strike. And Clay County had lots of oil, even up Mill Creek, here in this town, Peterman Bend, Kittle Creek, probably the biggest area. But the lake under Del Hollow was lots of oil wells that just plugged up and left.
Okay, and I know that as a youngster, I can remember in the 50s that we had another little boom here, because I know we had the oil folks come in and just lease land all over Clay County. They'd go around to all the farms around and give them, $100 a year for an oil lease or something or other. Of course, that over the years, that kind of presented problems sometimes, because some of those deeds still have oil leases on them.
Some people kept their, what they call them, the rights to the oil. They'd sell the land but kept the oil.
Right. Yeah. That gets to be fun, I think, on sometimes with some of the older deeds here. Well, the latest thing that you can remember, when I know it hadn't been that many years ago, when there was some strikes up on the Overstreet farm, and I think maybe there's still some active whales up in that area.
Just a few years ago, they had another big strike up in Kittle Creek. And that's where it seemed like a lot of it in this area has been, the Kittle Creek area. But they had another big strike up there just ago.
And I think there's probably still some whales. I think some whales up there that are still pumping, maybe. And
yeah, there's a lot of whales still pumping up in that area.
And I know that, of course, we have the one well up out beside the road going up toward the Pea Ridge, don't we, up at Keeslings?
Yep, you can still go up down the road.
Yeah, that still has some oil in it. But, you know, and I ran across a thing here, in one of the stories here, where a oil company in Nashville was supposedly, and I asked Johnny, and we don't know of anything that ever happened, but they were supposedly building a pipeline from Butler's Landing to Granville. And I guess it was somewhere near Granville, would have to be where there was a steamboat landing there, a major steamboat landing down there at Granville, and they were going to do a pipeline of like 20-something miles. But I don't know where that ever got built or not. I've never seen anything other than this one announcement on it.
Me either, and I've heard of the whale, you know, heard of the pipelines through this area, but I never have done any research or really heard anything else about it.
And, of course, have we ever had any oil barges to come up the river here? I've never heard of that.
You know, they had planned on it. Then something about they couldn't get under one of the bridges or the barges or something, and that probably... Well, we had the oil wells down here at one time, and they all are the storage area.
Yeah.
And they all just kind of went away. I don't know if that's what kind of...
That hadn't been that long ago, has it? No. Of course, there was that place there at Gainesboro where they were going to load the barges up with the oil and ship it down the river. Well, Johnny, you know what we have done? We have been sitting here now for nearly an hour. And before we give up, I got to do my little bit of work here, if I can find my notepad, at our birthdays, which I forgot to read at halfway through the show. But got a pretty good list here. Celebrating birthdays this week, Mr. Danny Williams celebrated a birthday. Speedo, I believe his nickname, isn't it? Joseph Burks celebrated a birthday. Mr. Travis Cherry, Miss Joanna Roten celebrated a birthday. Mr. Roy Henson. Celebrating a birthday, Mr. Winton Dillon, and then one of our former citizens here that lives over in Monroe County, we'll wish her a happy birthday, and that's Miss Imogene Baxter. We'll wish her a happy birthday. And also here, Mr. David Threet, Brenda Keith, and Mr. Randy Birdwell. We had a pretty good list today. A potpourri of names today. And I guess I will reach over my little thing here and get me a little doo-wicky thing here, and looks like Mr. Roy Henson has won the birthday prize today. Mr. Roy, you'll have to come over here to the Chamber of Commerce building and identify yourself, and they'll give you an envelope with your birthday prize. And with that, I guess it's time we got the door shut here, Johnny, and get out and check, see if the snow's all gone, and get ready for a real hard rest of the day, I'm sure. And we appreciate you coming by, and I have enjoyed this, and hope the folks here out here listening to us this morning have enjoyed it. And we'll join you again next week here, same time, same channel, WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And now, like I said, we've got everything shut up in here, and may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again, and we hope we'll meet you here at the same time on this same channel next week. And until then, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.